Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crap Is, a podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Yo Profs, okay? I'm Ronnie, and that's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Howdy doody, what's up?
It is still your birthday.
It's still my birthday. I'm wearing the same shirt. I'm wearing the same shirt as I was wearing during our Salt Lake City thing. Look, it's about Tom.
It's about Mickey for me. I'm wearing a Mickey Mouse Christmas shirt because my niece gave it to me and she's coming over later. So I have to pretend I wear it every day, which that's actually, once I put on a t-shirt, I do wear it every day. That's one thing I have in common with the cast of Southern Charm.
Yeah, this one's going to be on for 4 days straight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, everybody, it is Southern Charm Day. We did it. Here we are. We are finally at a crazy episode of Southern Charm. That we've all been waiting for. But first, Ben, what's going on in Dom's life?
I want to shill something. This is the exact opposite of Southern Charm. as many of you guys know, my boyfriend is a choreographer, and he just did, really the biggest thing in his career. He has transitioned from dancing to choreography, and he just choreographed Mariah Carey's Christmas special that's on Apple Plus. I watched it last night. It was so good. And it's like so Mariah. Like I loved it because, you know, I'm like a Mariah. Like, I love Mariah. And she's like so Mariah. But also Dom does a really great job with, you know, the dance numbers are awesome. So I just want to encourage people to go watch it because it's a fun, it's 43 minutes. It's like a really easy thing to watch. And, you know, I'm just like really proud of Dom.
That is so cool. Yeah. Tell him congratulations. I'll watch that tonight.
I also love the fact that I just think it's so funny that like Dom works with Mariah Carey and we're like, yeah, Kim D was on our podcast. Like, with two icons in different fields.
Yeah, whatever. We all have our goddesses, okay? Damn it.
Yeah, you know? But anyway, it's on Apple Plus. I think a lot of people got Apple Plus for free with some sort of promotion, but if not, like, you know, if you have the service, go check it out. Cause it's really fun. It's a really, really fun.
Do you think Dom told Mariah Carey, my boyfriend just had Kim D on the podcast. So
maybe, although Mariah Carey's book, was published by Andy Cohen's imprint. So it all comes full circle, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's all full circle. So anyway, everyone go check that out.
So here we are with Southern Charm, the emoji episode.
Oh, God.
Big emoji episode. I was like, you know, how are they going to handle this? This is some pretty heavy shit that Catherine did. Like, it's pretty bad. And how in the world are they going to handle this on this show? And, of course, they did it by having Catherine unpack a box. I mean, isn't that some shit she bought online?
Course.
Isn't that just so Catherine? They're like, Catherine, how are we going to deal with this? And she's like, well, Thomas canceled my Amazon Prime, so I'll open a box from Pottery Barn Kids. Does that work?
They gave her, because this was like a, this was to punish Catherine. They gave her the biggest box she's ever had to handle, and they also made that box cut her. Like that's how they handled it.
Yeah, they put some like needles in that box or whatever. There's not even a table in there.
I actually thought they did a really good job with this episode. I was, you know, when the episode started and they're like, as Charleston and the rest of the world went into lockdown, we embraced our new normal. And so I was like, okay, it's going to be like they're in quarantine. But then once they brought George Floyd into it, I was like, oh God, this is the emoji episode. Oh God, how are they going to handle this? I was like you. I was like nervous. I thought they actually did a really good job. I was surprised at how good of a job they did. Of course, I'm speaking from a perspective of a white male, so who knows? But I did think it was really good. And I remember at the time when with the statue coming down and everything, there were pictures of the cast standing there and filming, and people were really mad. They were like, oh my God, look, like Southern Charm is like turning this into a reality show shoot. But I think now, having watched the context of this episode, you know, our like maybe the perspective will be a little different, because I felt like they had like a really good earnest conversation. Like they like let Catherine have it basically behind her back. I'm not saying that in like a sneaky way, but they had that whole scene, and I was like, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I thought so too. Because at first you look at it when the people were going against it and showing those pictures. Like, of course they're using this on a reality show to make themselves look good, because it's you know, it's the time to do that, you know. But yeah, right. I think that they did, like, it well too, because they did it to kind of frame up what everything is that is wrong about this show.
Yeah.
Of course, they did. On the other hand, they did that using minorities that we never see on this show until right
that's
now.
That would be my very next point, which is that I would like these women to, like, still be part of the show. Like, I don't want them just to come on for, like, a very special Southern charm and then be gone. Like, that could be my very next thing. Is like, okay, so now can we have these women as our new cast members too, please? Because, like, they were also, like, cool. They were, like, funny and cool and smart as, like, can we just have them also just as cast members, please?
Yeah. So, let's get into it. So
yeah, let's get into it.
I guess production shot down for a little while, and they have just come back and are starting. And Whitney is that person that takes it seriously, you know, when all of his friends don't take it seriously. And like, so they're all still hanging out and going out, but the only way he'll go out is, like, to his patio, which is enormous because he lives in a mansion, and they're all separate. It looks like a Bravo reunion in there. They're all, like, 20 feet apart from each other trying to drink.
And I mean, it's actually kind of great because you know, the way the episode, the big sort of twist of the end of the episode, I either didn't know or had forgotten. I thought only Craig had gotten coronavirus. I didn't know Austin had gotten it too. So, like, the entire episode is Austin just having just so much, whatever the word is, like, hubris about coronavirus. So he's Craig and Austin are at Whitney's because we're seeing clips of what they're all doing during quarantine, and Austin's like, we're drinking a shitty bottle of scotch that Whitney has provided us. Look, we're sitting so far apart. It's ridiculous. I mean, coronavirus, not even real, for crying out loud. It's ridiculous.
It's insane right now. And Whitney's just looking at his phone like, they're making me shoot with these idiots. I do not want to be here. Like, he doesn't even look at them the whole time. And then we go over to Madison's house, and she's like, we're making pancakes. And Hunter's like, nailed it. Which has now become about this new Netflix show, Nailed It. Well, not new, but a show on Netflix called Nailed It. Because every time I say, Nailed It, I'm saying it like Jack, like the Jack Black in School of Rockway. Okay?
Oh, I never knew that. I thought that was just like a Ronnie-ism.
Nailed it. No, I think that comes from School of Rock, and now everyone's like, oh, my kids love that show whenever I say that, and so now I have to just shut up or watch a stupid show. Nailed It.
By the way, hot take, I do not like Nailed It. I thought I would really like it, but it's too jokey. I feel like if, like, everything about it's so jokey, like the cake being a disaster is the joke. You don't have to make jokes on the joke. So as a result, I pass on Nailed It.
I like watching shows where people make good things.
Yeah, I like when they make good things.
That way, the Worst Cooks in America type of guy, you know?
Yeah, I used to be Worst Cooks of America, but I'm not anymore. But I do like it when they make good things. That way, when they make bad things, it's more impactful. Like a lot of the Great British Baking Show, like watching Laura melt things and spill them everywhere felt more important because other people were doing things perfectly.
Yeah. So then we go to, there's no masking the country's other problems, because we're seeing flashes of everything. And this is where we see the George Floyd stuff and, the protests on the Ravenel Bridge.
I like that. There's no masking this country's other problems. I'm like, well, you certainly did a good job of it for 7 seasons on this show. you would never have any idea.
Yeah, no kidding.
You would never have any idea.
And the fact that they're on the Ravenel Bridge protesting, I mean, it's just so fitting for this show. You couldn't write this shit.
Yeah. And then we get that South Carolina governor who we've since learned, I guess it's called like Governor Leghorn or something like that. Like, people call him that because he's like, we can't keep things closed forever. I say, we will open up the bars and we'll open up the restaurants and we're going to open up the schools because we can't live this way forever.
And then we see the aftermath of a lot of protests and stuff and broken windows and stores and stuff like that and Leva's store or Leva's restaurant. And she's like, yeah, it's a diverse family. Leva's. There's been a lot of what?
You're going to love it at Leva's.
She's like, it's a diverse family. There's been a lot of emotion, you know, and Craig's like, Charleston is back, sort of. And it's like, June, boom, boom, boom.
Charleston's also the name of my pinky. It's back, sort of.
Sort of. So we see signs that say, wear your masks. Stay safe, Charleston. And then Madison spraying everything down at the salon. And her assistant's like, Susie Humbucker over there. She's like,
you should see all the cooking I've been recently.
Really?
No.
I like Yeah, I do like that. I do like that that there we do keep seeing all these signs that say wear a mask. And I think I counted about two people the entire episode that actually wore a mask.
Actually wearing them, yeah.
Yeah, like I felt so bad. There was a there was a host at a restaurant at one point, and he just has his one mask, and just so many people around just don't have their masks on. He's like, do you want a table? I was like, this poor guy. So, so Leva is, she's FaceTiming her partner, her restaurant partner, and, you know, it's not quite business as usual, but they're getting back into the swing of it, you know, at their restaurant. And
then her and baby just tries to eat her boob off, basically. Yeah. She's like, ow, God. So then we go over to Pringle, who does have his sons, and he's like, what do you guys want to do this weekend? And they're like, fishing. They're like, iPads.
Yeah.
Want to play on the iPads?
iPads, please. And then we go to Catherine hanging a little duck picture, like some sort of like Americana-esque thing that says Calhoun, which it didn't occur to me, obviously, at this point, but it was a perfect counterpoint to, like, while we are discussing, like, taking down this Confederate statue that bears her name, she is erecting a duck that says Calhoun.
And you know that she
was a thematic balance.
Yes. They were like, oh, you've got this duck picture. You should hang this. She's like, really? You like that? They're like, yeah, just hang it up. Hang it up anywhere. It's like, how about next to this closet? Yeah. How about that? They're like, okay. She's like, Calhoun. Looks great here.
All I know about my great, 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 great grandfather is that he loved ducks. That's his legacy. It's like, no, not quite, Catherine.
That's why they put a statue of him up. He just loves those ducks.
So then we see Austin reading something, and he's drinking white wine, and he literally lives out in an Alanis Morissette lyric. He gets a black fly in his Chardonnay. Oh, it's insane. It's so ironic right now.
Then we go over to Pat's house, and Matt's out on the side. Michael's out on the sidewalk, and she has a normal ringer for Michael when she calls him. I think it should just be that bell that's like ding, 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 ding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are there antibacterial wipes in the car? Of course, ma'am. There are hundreds of them whenever you're in the car. All right, I'll come out now.
Michael, do you have gloves? How about a mask? He's like, yes, ma'am. Oh, that skirt's indecent. Well, good. Too bad there's nobody around to enjoy it except Whitney over here. Mother, you look great. Mother, you look great.
So they're driving around, and she's like, go slow, make it last so I can enjoy every bit of this outing. And she tells us about her quarantine. She's like, I decided to quarantine the second week of March because Michael and I were a certain age. And then we just cut to her getting breakfast in bed. And she's like, thank you, Michael. I don't want anyone touching anything. Newspapers, magazines, poor people.
Oh, look how pretty. As like, something is hand-delivered to her. And then Whitney is here, too. He's also of a certain age, but he likes to pretend he's of a different certain age. And we just see Whitney on a guitar, like... Wee, 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 wee.
Yeah, with the biggest amp. It's like as big as the room. He's like, yeah, Renob!
Renob!
In his Adam Lambert wig. And she's like, so the three of us self-imposed quarantine. And we see her just sitting out on her deck and Michael fanning her.
It's kind of like the best show we never got to see. And she's like, my hair is so long, I feel like an aging hippie. Oh, at least I've showered.
Hmm. So then we see them go through a drive-thru, and this time it's a donut place. And Michael... I mean, how condescending do you need to be to the donut people? He's like, I'll have a box of 12, which shall be 12 varietal donuts, and a box of 6 I was like, they know how to do their job. Order your fucking donuts, man.
I don't like the ones with sprinkles.
He's like, well,
those will be for the yard men.
Yeah.
Yep. Good. And then, also, by the way, I also like that apparently Michael's been doing Patricia's hair. She's like, Michael cut my hair for the past 2.5 months. I have a white streak here and a white streak there. I kind of look like a skunk. I'm like, that should be the name of the show. A white streak here and a white streak there.
God. No, the show would just be white.
Just white.
Just white. So we go to Craig's rental, and he's making a smoothie, and is... I don't know if Bravo's just into fucked up blender scenes, but here we go with another fucked up blender scene of somebody just getting shit everywhere when they don't know how to use a blender. Hell, Bravo.
He just gets he gets like smoothie on his counter and on the floor, and it's like nothing's even happening. Like, it's not even on. He just somehow, it's somehow the presence of Craig causes smoothie to rise up out of the blender and land on the, it's like the smoothie is like the octopus in My Octopus Teacher. It like is like ready to like go out of the sea onto land to get away from a predator.
He's like, I hate ants. So then he gets on a laptop with his business partner, who I think is named Jerry, right?
Jerry, yeah, okay. Jerry. Jerry looked kind of hot today. Was that just me?
No, Jerry's like literally hot.
He's always hot, but he looked really hot. Like quarantine was really good for Jerry.
Hot people generally look hot. Also, do you know who quarantine was good for? Hot people. Because hot people, when quarantine happened, they were like, you know what I'm going to do? Work out more every day.
I know. I thought they were going to like lose their hotness, so it would actually make me feel good.
No.
Like, aha, your life, your hotness is, it's ephemeral. But no, they just got hotter. No,
it's the hotness economy tank. It's like the fat got fatter and the hot got hotter.
You know? Yeah, it was so rude. Yeah. But yeah, he was, I think what also made it hot is that he was scolding Craig, which is really good, about like, you know, COVID safety, which is like my favorite thing. So he's like, Craig's like, well, everything's good here. I mean, COVID never really came to Charleston, if you even believe it exists in the first place. He's like, have you been staying in, though? Like, actually staying in? He's like, yeah. I mean, I've been drinking wine at the house with a girl I'm dating. Her name is Natalie. I don't know if you've heard of her, but she's, I'm drinking with her.
And then we see Natalie, and she's like,
oh, no. I'm Natalie!
It's like, oh, God.
She is out of control. We see a shot of him. They're playing pool, and he, like, hits the pool with a cue, and she goes,
I was like, well...
Oh dear!
How fun, like, with that?
She is gonna be the next. She should be the next person, Charleston, to get coronavirus. That mouth open like that, like there's just like no room for the coronavirus to go anywhere else. Like it just has to go into the mouth.
Yeah, she's like literally a super spreader. So Craig's like, yeah, I met Natalie.
I just
Aspen.
Got super spread too.
I met Natalie in Aspen, and she came to stay with me, and I'm pretty sure like I'm in love with this girl, and like I haven't had this feeling since Naomi. It's like, does she have rich parents? Why am I okay, I'm gonna make a bet that Natalie has or really rich parents. Okay, he's like, there was this point when we were laying down and her eyes are like so bright, they're blue, green, they're green, well they're blue and they're green, they're like so many colors, but the green blue. I know they're green. I know they're
it
green.
Depends on like how the sun hits them. Like, and when she wears sunglasses, they actually turn to like big black circles that cover up her entire eye sockets. But they're green.
So he's telling Jerry that they can go to restaurants outside, and he's like, yeah, like it never came here. And Jerry's like, yeah, it hasn't come there yet, maybe, but this sounds very dangerous, Craig.
It's coming. It's coming, Craig. Well, as of this point, it's really only in major cities, and I just think that people are overreacting. And he's like, Craig, we can't afford to have you sick. We put in a lot of money, and I've promised a lot of people it was not a ridiculous idea to build a business around you. And I can't have people laughing at me. It's not about the money. It's just about the humiliation of saying, you're right, I did build a business around Craig Conover. I should never have done it. Please don't get sick. Please.
Yeah. And he's like, but I'm really careful. Then we see clips, like multiple clips of the guys all partying and hanging out. And at one point, Shep whips out his phone to do an Insta. He's like, whoa, Gors. Hi, this is Shep who's changed. I've changed. I'm hanging out with the guys. And Craig's like, could you maybe not put that on Instagram so people don't get mad at us?
I'm like, how about you just don't do something that people will get mad at you about? And then they'll be fine.
Yeah, so should have thought of that before the Tomi. This is before or after Tomi, you two. Wait,
Oh, God, Tomi Lahren. Oh, that really triggered me that day.
I know, I just said it.
You know, I already have it. I know. I think that is actually around then, right? Because I had Tomi Lahren, like, right, like, I remember I had, like, there were a few episodes where I was really ranting about Tomi Lahren. Remember?
Yeah.
And then I had, like, people who were, like, mad at me about ranting about Tomi Lahren. And then I was like, rah. I was in a real Tomi Lahren hole.
Yeah.
So,
is it Tomi or Tommy?
I'm calling her Tommy, and I really don't care. I'll start respecting her name when she starts respecting other people. Okay, so...
yeah, it was around this time because they were living together during Corona or whatever and doing those Instagram lives every day.
Yeah. So Jerry wants to do a virtual pillow party, and Craig's... they want to do it because all his big deals are on hold, and he was going to go on to Home Shopping Network, but they had to shut down their campus, so he's going to have to do his thing from Skype at home. And Craig's like, I just feel like my chemistry would be so much better in person with them. I'm like, Craig, you literally have no chemistry with anything. You hear the way you talk.
I know, but if he was with them, he wouldn't have to do as much. They could do all the talking. He could just go, yeah, and look hot.
It's a good pillow.
And Jerry's like, it's a global pandemic, Craig. He's like,
can they open up the campus for me for like half an hour?
Let's go see a scene of the new improved chef. He's like, oh my gosh, Craig!
Little Craig did something and Shep got annoyed. Craig!
I'm such a different person now, Craig!
I'm kind of buying it. I can't help it. I'm kind of buying it with Shep. This happens to me. Go back the archives, you'll see. I fall for it every time. I'm sorry, everyone, I'm falling for it.
Oh, God. You're one of those people who will like visit people on death row and be like, they've changed! They like Jesus now!
Oh, so we're just going to shame Susan Sarandon? Is that what we're going to do?
Yes, Susan Sarandon. Yes, I am still shaming Susan very Sarandon shameable. For that.
Very shameable. I can't help it. I'm sorry, guys. I will try to push. I will push against it. Sometimes I just can't help but be manipulated by TV. So either way, he's also making delicious looking shrimp, which is also that really kind of won me over too.
Is that
nothing else. Yeah. Yeah. He's making shrimp.
I'm sitting back. I'm like, you go, boy. You're like, I love shrimp.
I love shrimp. He's making shrimp. Although, I lost some love for him because he was not being a good coronavirus social distancer. So I did lose some love for him for that.
Not that I have that much love anyway.
Like, my needle is moving. My needle's in flux right now.
So he's making shrimp tacos, and he's like, look who's here, Craigie. It's your new mama. And Taylor comes in with groceries, and he's like, how's it being back at work, gosh? She's like, well, I couldn't smell my armpits today, so I don't know if I'm losing my sense of smell or if I have corona. I just don't know. And he's like, yeah, when COVID first came, I had like rubber gloves and I was like wiping things down and I just didn't want to get it. I mean, I was crazy about it, but now I guess I just don't care as much.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Corona still cares. So then, so Shep is saying like, well, but if you had coronavirus, it would be fun to quarantine. Gosh, we did just quarantine. Gosh. Oh man, it's funny. We had a conversation about defining a relationship and then all of a sudden we're living together for 2 months. Gosh.
Oh, look at this clip of us being so romantic. I'm so different now. It was our birthday. Look, honey. It's a necklace made out of great white shark teeth. She's like,
right,
oh my
I hate
God,
him again.
Thank you, honey.
I hate him again. He got her a shark tooth necklace. Are we in summer camp?
You just came back from your parents' island home. Okay? Could you have at least stolen some fucking silverware from your mother?
You are like you have so much money. And listen, I know just because you're rich doesn't mean you have to give a rich gift. But you have so much money, you're going to get like a tchotchke from like the down the street.
Yes, no. You're rich. You have to get a rich gift, okay?
Banana Republic card for $200 for her.
Yeah, it's like Reagan girlfriendomics. Let it trickle down a little bit, okay? What's the point of dating a rich person if you're just going to get a fucking shark tooth necklace?
Okay, I'm back to disliking Shep. Guys, thanks for being with me on this journey.
And she's like, look at you cooking. I'm so proud. He's like, oh, I'm going to go work out. And he's having this whole scene where he's like, I'm so happy. Look at me. I'm fixed. I'm totally fixed. And then you see him trying to put guacamole on a plate and his hand's shaking so bad that he can barely do it. I'm like, okay, Hume Cronin. Okay, you're doing great.
Oh, I got a peek at the white picket life. White picket fence life. And I looked over. And I didn't hate it. I'm like, so you're basically Wilson from Home Improvement? That's not what you want to be.
Yeah, weird imagine what the people on the face. Other side of the fence thought.
Yeah, exactly. Tim Allen. Ugh. What a terrible neighborhood he's in.
So they start talking about, oh, it's wacky. He's going to the gym, but not enough. She's like, but I like your little love handles. And he's like, shaky hands. And then we find out that Madison's throwing a party. And yeah. Shep's like, yeah, well, Madison and Austin were spending quarantine together. Wait, Madison and Austin, that's not right. Craig and Austin, he must mean, right? Craig and Austin were spending quarantine together. And she's like, isn't that what a real relationship's all about? And he's like, yeah, handshake, handshake. It's like trying to eat. It's making the sound like.
The shrimp are flying everywhere. Little Craig's just like running around trying to catch them all in his mouth.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Nice.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So over at Madison's house, she's unpacking some food because Casey, her sister's coming over with Tara, my mother.
Wait, let's do it simultaneously. You be the mom and I be Casey, and we're both going to say hey as they come in the door.
Okay.
Hi.
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 I actually loved her mom and her sister. I loved them. But they did, like, they kept saying things at the same time in the exact same way. It was hilarious.
And they are like sisters. And Madison's like, she's like the youngest one, but she's like the fanciest one because she keeps pointing out how fancy she is. She's like,
well, hey, y'all, I just had the house cleaned just for y'all.
No, I just cleaned the house. No, I had it cleaned, you know?
Yeah.
She's very fancy. And later they're like, do you want us to help you with the party? And she's like,
I hired somebody for that.
I'm like, okay.
Oh, Madison. Well, that's what happens when you name your daughter Madison after a fancy street in New York City, okay? Next time, you're going to be named
Lexington.
Main. Main Street. Generic.
York. Now your name's York Avenue.
Next time, you're 12th. You're 8th. Next time, you're named 8th. I'm like, I don't know my bad streets.
Right.
Next time, you're named Western Avenue. That's L.A.
So, you know, she compliments her hair, and there's two hairdressers in the family, so that worked. And then they're making margaritas, and Madison tells us that she's always looked up to her sister.
She's 10 years older than me, so she's like another mother to me. And my parents have been married 27 years.
And then her mom's just drinking straight from the tequila bottle. And I'm like, yeah.
Casey's probably like, thanks. I'm another mother to you, your older sister. Thanks. And we also see a picture of like when Madison was a little girl and Casey was older. I mean, when they were younger, but you know, Casey being the older sister, and Casey basically looked like Sharon Stone. Like she definitely had a Sharon Stone phase. I was like, that's kind of a blessing. Basically, Madison was raised by Sharon Stone.
Yeah. And everyone's gorgeous in this family.
Oh my God. So gorgeous.
So, the mom's like, here's no more coronavirus. I had to learn how to cook again. And Madison's like, well, did you ever know how, Mama? I'm just kidding. You made a mean hamburger helper. Poor people's food. I hire a hamburger helper.
His name is Austin. So I can actually imagine Austin being the little glove, the hamburger helper. This meat is insane right now. The stuffing's insane. It's being insane, this stuffing. It's insane right now. Insane.
So they're talking about how Hudson is on school break, you know, because of quarantine. And she's like, homeschooling sucks. And they're like, yeah, he's smart. She goes, yeah, smarter than me. I mean, I don't know what the heck he's doing. I have to tell him, ask Alexa.
Mom, you have corn on your lip? I was born to eat corn, Madison.
It's like a country song.
I know.
I was born to eat corn. Like
one of the truest things I've ever heard on TV. I was like, me too. I think I was born to eat corn.
It's like, well, I'm
worn out. I've never been off work. We were down 8 weeks.
And then the mom's like, dun, 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 how's Austin? And she's like, shit, I just lost my appetite. And then
to be fair, I just only got my appetite back after having that giant ice cream sundae 3 months ago.
And then we cut to Austin, who is meeting up with his family for a little family get together.
I love Austin. Oh, God, I love when Austin meets up with his family because his parents are just always so disappointed in him, like at all times.
Oh, my God. And his sister, like, openly.
His sister is a hero. His sister is like a true American hero right now.
And you got to hand it to Austin. He really does have just a positive attitude. He shows up in every scene like it's going to go so great attitude. For him.
You know? He has the attitude of a very positive person. Very, just, you know, I look at Austin and I just say, this is someone who is positive.
Yeah, but he really does, though. I mean, he shows up into every scene like, this is going to go great for me. Like, finally, I've got it together. I've got a business going. My parents are going to be so proud of me. Everything's going great. I've got half iron Dockers on. This is going to go great. Hey, guys. Hey, guys. Table four. Yeah, 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 guys. And then it just every time by the end, they're like, you fucking loser.
Always. And they show up. And Katie, his sister, is just sitting in this chair across from, they're eating outside, and she just has her hand, and she's just like, my fucking brother has dragged me into this totally unsafe environment. I'm just so lucky that I got out of New York City, and now I've got to sit here and do a scene on a TV show in this, like, petri dish of a restaurant right now. Fuck my brother.
So he's like, wow, I'm surprised you even let me hug them. Hug my own parents. I mean, look, I feel great, you know? Like, oh, by the way, guys, just before you ask, they did pick up my beer here at this restaurant. It's just not here right now. And the dad's like, kegs and cans? He's like, oh, God, come on, just kegs, Dad. And the mom's like, when did the cans come?
He's like, Mom, oh, it's insane right now. All these questions about the cans, okay?
Can we just celebrate a win?
As soon as I see one, hey, so what's going on in Charleston? I'm not here. What's it like in here? Is it business as usual here? He's like, well, look around, right? I mean, look. And Kitty goes, that makes me more nervous.
He's like, you're a crazy person, okay? You wouldn't even let me visit for Mother's Day. I mean, you're the one from New York. Can't believe you didn't wear a hazmat suit.
I know. He's like shaming her, and she's like, you will get this by the end of this episode.
And the mom's like, well, I haven't seen you, so how is it between you and Madison? He's like, things have kind of changed between us. Cut back to Madison. And it's like, well, before quarantine, we're good. And then during quarantine, I had Hudson. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to better myself, not only for Hudson, not only for my future, but for the world, mother, for the world.
Heal the world. Make it a better place for you and me and the entire Supercuts race.
I had a 5-year plan. And the mom's like, so do you feel like you're doing more than Austin now? Let me ask you this. Was Austin born for corn?
Do you think you're doing more than Austin is a trick question? Because the answer is always yes to anyone you ask. So, were you born for corn?
Are you born to eat corn, honey?
So, I was born to eat this corn, baby, and you were born to be my corn. So, I'm just like singing songs today. So she basically is, Austin is like playing video games and like hanging out with Craig doing these Instagram lives, and the mom's like, well, that's not sexy, that's for sure. I'll tell you what's sexy. Corn on the cob, corn in a pudding, corn bread, all the corn. Sexy, sexy, sexy. That's what I'm saying.
You know who cracked corn? Jimmy. Have we set you up with the Jimmy yet?
Have you been to Corn Dog Castle at Disneyland? Because I bet there's some fine gentlemen there.
So back with Austin, he's like, yeah, I mean, I was hanging out with Craig and Shep, and, you know, we've been acting like idiots. I've been basically with Craig the whole time. And then we see, like, a montage of all their Instagram lives that they were doing together where they're being wacky, like, rolling around on the ground. And Craig looks at a comment from somebody, and he goes, do you like cats? Like real cats or like the movie cats?
That's a fair question, actually, Ronnie. That's a fair question. By the way, I have to say one of the things that warmed my heart the most was that I got a birthday tweet from someone who named their cat Ben Mandelpur. And it is adorable. I actually like the cat. I liked it so much. I saved the photo. I can show you the photo of this of Ben Mandelpur. Here's Ben Mandelpur. This is exclusive to Crappens on Demand. Isn't that an adorable cat? And like just doing exactly what I want to be doing right now. Just lying on its side, but also having attention lavished on
and
it.
judging at the same time.
Ben Mandelpur, the cat. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry to the owner of Ben Mandelpur. I did not write down your name. I just remember Ben Mandelpur. I'm very self-involved. I'm very self-involved. I'll get her name. I'll get her name and give her a shout out in a moment. But continue on.
So Austin's mom is like, does it bother her that you're not doing that much? And or that you're hanging out with Craig? And he's like, well, she thought I chose him over her. And I'm like, that's insane, Madison. It's insane right now. Like, it's not true. Like, she put me in the back seat and went on a health cleanse. Like, she changed her life. And she said, I'll just see you when I see you. And the sister's like, maybe she's got the right idea. He's like,
she's insane. She wants to make her life better. That's insane right now. And her dad's like, sounds like you're making fun.
Just wants to get healthy and improve her life.
She just wants to make sure she's in the best shape as possible so that way her son has a future. Who does that? His dad's like, it sounds like you're making fun of it. Sort of the way we make fun of you behind your back. I can sort of pick up the same tones, you know?
Yeah. And he's like, whose side are you on right now? And she's like, she has a kid and you need to put up or shut up. I've been saying that for a year to you.
By the way, Ash is Ben Mandelper's mom. So thank you, Ash. I felt bad. I feel like I have to give credit to the mother. Okay. So Austin, when Katie says, like, maybe Madison's onto something, Austin's like, who the hell's side are you on, Katie? Are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me? It's like, maybe she's on the side of logic and, like, futures for people.
And the mom's like, you know, honey, sometimes when you tell us these stories, it makes me think that, are you guys really compatible? I mean, it's like your beer and working restaurants. Do they really go together? You know, I know you care about her, okay? Because she's hot and successful and intelligent.
Mainly hot.
But does she care for you? Because are you any of those things? I mean, let's just be honest with ourselves.
Austin, okay? I want to paint a scenario for you, okay? Madison cuts some hair, it lands in your beer glass, then what do you do? I don't see this as being a compatible situation, okay? How about you getting into the garbage bag business, and she cuts the hair and goes into your garbage bag and you take it out? Now that works. That is compatibility.
Yeah, she's basically like, you know, it can't just be one-sided, Austin. I mean, you're you, and so you have to find someone who's willing to accept you. They're all just kind of stare at him.
So then we go back to Madison, and she's like,
well, I'm gonna be throwing Austin a birthday party in a private island.
Which I'm like, what? A private island? Is there gonna be like, are they gonna be hunting down one of their cast members for sport? Like, what's happening?
Yeah.
She's just ready for a new chapter of her life, and Austin just isn't ready yet, you know?
Yeah.
He's Austin.
Yeah, and the mom's like, you know, he's not ready. He's just not ready. I mean, he's a good person, but if you feel like Austin's holding you back, I mean, it's because he is. You're working your ass off, okay? And they're like, you're strong, you're independent. And the mom's like,
you don't need anyone.
Yeah, your head is on straight and you've done it all by yourself. The man thing isn't a priority. You don't need no one. And being a mom like you are, I can't believe what a good mom you are. You are the bomb. You are a boss lady. You are a bomb boss. You are a lady boss of bombs in a bomb factory.
You're a corn cob. Listen, when you're a single lady, sometimes you only need a piece of corn, if you know what I'm saying, okay? So then Madison's like, I just miss you. Y'all gonna make me cry. I just miss y'all. And then the mom and Casey at the same time just go, oh.
And the mom's like, do you want to come home? She's like, what am I going to do at that poor person's house? She's like, we have a pool,
which is such a mom thing to be like, we got a pool.
And the sister goes, we have bicycles.
It's like a rec center, basically. I'm not mad at it. Corn, pool. I mean, I don't know if I'd get on the bicycle, but corn and pool, I'm set.
And the mom's like, do you want us to help you with the party? She's like, I hired somebody, poor people. She's like, oh, good. We were just saying that.
I'm going to get back to this corn now.
I was born to eat corn.
Born for corn. So now we go to John Pringle, whose kids, Asher and Quinn, are in bed. And he tells us that, like, basically, he went out to San Diego to be with the kids for 20 days and yada, yada, yada. They're here for the summer. But before they came here for the summer, after he was done hanging out with the kids for 20 days, he came back to Charleston and then drank a load and hung out with Shep, which is great. That's great. That's great for.
And then we see a clip of these guys hanging out and he's like, I think I burned myself with a fork. I was like, well, you'll fit right in on this cast.
And Shep goes, a fork, and just cuts away.
Yeah. But now it's summer camp with Dad. And basically he just makes breakfast for the kids and stuff. And Madison calls to invite him to this party. And he's like, yeah, I haven't seen you forever. And the producer says, so have you ever hooked up with a girl dating someone else? And he's like, yeah, I have no boundaries.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, that's, I guess, supposed to be charming, maybe. So then we go over to Danny's apartment. And now the episode just pivots. Now this is the pivot part of the episode. So we're at Danny's apartment. She's painting and Leva calls. And she's like, oh, you're like a professional social distancer, which is my way of saying you have no friends, by the way. Joke's on you. You got leveled.
And Danny's like, yeah, I guess I am getting good at it. She's like, so I was going to ask you, have you talked to Catherine since this huge debacle? She's like, no, actually, I haven't. Which I love. Danny's more mad about not talking to Catherine than Catherine's like racist shit going on. Exactly. On Instagram.
Also, how many times does Danny have to get like emotionally stood up by Catherine before it's time for her to move on? You know, so she, yeah. Danny already has like her voice is already breaking and they start talking about it. And the funny part is that while they're having this very, as they start to engage in this serious discussion about this emoji situation, Danny's dog just fully photobombs and is like in front of the camera, just like smiling. it's just like up here, like looking around. She's yeah. like, did you see that racist emoji? And the dog's like just here, yeah. right in front.
Leva tells us, she's like, so Catherine sent this black woman the monkey emoji. I was like, well, there was a way to just sum it up. I was like, how are they going to dip into this pool? And Leva's like, she sent a black woman a monkey emoji.
A monkey emoji.
Okay, that's how we're dealing with it.
And so Danny is like, well, I reached out to her, but I haven't heard anything. And Leva's like, oh, really? Because Catherine's like, reached out to me a lot, which is funny because Leva's just like subtly dissing Danny during this scene.
Yes, she is. And Danny's like, like her one eye blinks. You know, when she gets mad, how one eye blinks. She's like, yeah. Are you serious? And she's like, yeah. She's like, like recently? She's like, yeah, like the last month, a lot. She's like, I need your advice because I guess I'm like her only non-white friend. Sorry, I don't know how else to say that, white person.
Yeah. And then she's like, that's why I'm like so floored that she hasn't really basically reached out to you. And Danny's like already curled up in a fetal position, like, I can't believe she wouldn't call me when I called her back. I was there for her at the treehouse.
Yeah, Danny's so mad. She's like, well, I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen the girl in months. And Danny tells us, I mean, it's an F you to me. I have been there every time that mattered. And then we see clips of Danny standing up for Catherine over the years.
Which we see, like, every season when this happens, we see Danny be like, I always stand up for her. And then they roll the same montage of Danny being a good friend and Catherine being a shit friend.
Yes. So she's like, I was there when her mother passed away. I went to her house to wake her up and tell her. No one knows these things. I'm like, oof. Yeah, you had to go home.
Well, we now...
What?
Now we know them.
And now we know.
And now we know. So Leva's like, well, I don't know if you're fully aware of the Calhoun statue. And Danny's like, there's a Calhoun statue? I'm like, Danny,
yeah, I'm
you
not
know
buying
about
it,
this.
Danny. I'm not and buying then, it.
And Leva's like, yeah, there's a Calhoun statue in the middle of Marion Square Park. And she's like, where? And she goes, in the middle of Marion Square.
Right in the middle. Like,
you know how I said there? Remember I gave a specific geographical place, the Marion Square Park, and I said it was in the middle. You know that really, really tall statue that's on a column? Like the tallest thing in all of Charleston? Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, okay, a little history lesson. Okay? So this statue is of John C. Calhoun, and he's an ancestor of Catherine's. And Danny's like, wasn't he vice president or something?
Did he love ducks?
Did he love ducks?
He fought for ducks, right? He was a great man. He fought for ducks.
Was he a good friend to ducks as I am to Catherine? Tell me that. And she's like, yeah, he was vice president twice, and he's known for fighting to keep slavery alive. That was his dying wish. That's what he's known for, okay? That's why he's famous, and that's why his name is Calhoun. And Danny's like, oh, I didn't know that.
She's like, I had no idea he was that atrocious. That's a lie. Because also, when all the stuff with Catherine came out, this Calhoun stuff, people were talking about Calhoun as well, like the link, right? So Leva invites Danny to a meeting the next day or wherever, where they're going to be discussing bringing the Calhoun statue down and, and then they, by the way, this is when they actually show the statue, and it's just like hilarious that this statue is not like a statue that's like in the bushes somewhere. It's like a huge monument in this city.
Yeah, like it's on like a tower like that goes above the city.
It's like the most obvious statue. It's like And we were in Charleston, and, like, everywhere you walk, there are plaques that are say, like, this is dedicated to Smitherton J. Vance, who once had a wheel on his wagon fall off. And so it's like, you just see, it's like, you can't walk around that city without learning about this stuff.
Yeah.
So the fact that Danny's like, whoa, I had no idea. Like, it's what? Like, Danny.
So Lev is like, well, obviously I didn't invite Catherine to come. So, I mean, if you're there, I don't know how she's going to feel about that. And she's like, well, she has no right to be mad at me. Of course I will come. Of course I will. So Danny's already motivated by all the wrong things.
Yeah, you know? She's doing like a revenge statue, like a revenge statue coming down.
I'm
thing.
Standing against racism because Catherine was mean to me.
Hey, whatever it takes, you know, whatever it takes. So now it's like June 17th. So it's now we're at this meeting that's being held at the base of the statue with like some community members. And Leva's there and she brought her friend Vanita. And then Danny is there and Madison from Gwyn's shows up. And there's a local politician, Representative Todd Rutherford, who's there and he's like making a speech. And he has a fiance who's also Leva's friend named Megan Pinkney. And we're seeing this, like, actually a very powerful scene of, like, you know, testimony on a woman's, like, you know, my family owns slaves. And, you know, my history deserves a place in a museum. And, you know, it's like a really, you know, it's basically community members saying, like, take down the statue.
Yes. And Leva's telling us what it was. And it's not just some statue, okay? It's used to be called Boundary Street, and he was pro-slavery to the point that his statue was on, like, right at Boundary Street, and it's to look over and say black people cannot cross this boundary. I mean, it's terrible. It's really terrible. Bad.
And Love is crying, by the way, because, you know, obviously she's in an interracial marriage, and she has a son whose ancestors went through, like, unimaginable trauma. So she's, you know, she's crying on behalf of that as well. And it's like, I thought it was impactful.
Yeah. And so, the girls are crying and all that. And so they decide to go out and have lunch and talk about it and stuff. But then Meanwhile, we go over to Catherine's townhouse.
And this is where I was like, oh God, this is going to get real bad.
Yes.
It's like Catherine's pushing out an enormous box, her punishment box from Pottery Barn, into the dining room. And she cuts herself on it. And it's her third cut this week. So at least the boxes are taking action. And she starts talking about, you know, how she's been co-parenting with Thomas during quarantine, like a week on, week off, etc. And she's texting Thomas to arrange pickups. It's sort of like the calm before the storm of the scene.
Yes. She's like, isn't it? I'm just a wacky mom trying to homeschool and text my ex through Siri. And then Madison calls her. She's like, hey, girl, just putting together a new play table. Madison's like, well, how's he been? And she's like, well, I have to get creative trying to entertain the kids. Like, oh my gosh, you know, quarantine is really giving me time to work on the house. You should see the Calhoun duck I just proudly hung.
What a great family name. I think we can all honor it in our own special ways, right? And
I hung it, like, on a wall which serves as a boundary between the living room and the bathroom.
So Madison is like, okay, well, do you want to come to Austin's party? It's on a private island. You have to bring your own bow and arrow, and the cash prize is $500,000.
Hope your dress didn't catch fire. And Catherine's like, golly. I was like, uh-oh, she's pulling a Shep whenever Shep's trying to be, like, overly nice. She's like, golly, I know. I've been super depressed with everything that happened with that Instagram emoji thing. And Madison's like, oh, yeah, that. Well, I called to check on you. I mean, I didn't really know what was going on, and I guess I still don't. I don't have internet.
Yeah. So Catherine then turns into, like, a Jean Smart character, and she's, like, in the confessional being like, it was genuinely a mistake, okay? It was genuinely a mistake. It had nothing to do with race or politics or nothing, okay? My friend was having a Trump parade party. By the way, the worst way to start off your I didn't mean to be racist apology, okay? Listen, my friend was having a Trump parade party. And I'm not fucking political. I don't care about that. I'm not into Trump or whatever. But they were bullying her. I'm like, The Trump, okay, all right, okay. And she's like, and this woman was bashing my friend Katie, so I just started responding, that's all.
And yeah, like, and she like leans into the camera, she's like, that's it, they were bullying my friend.
Bullying.
And saying she's a Gene Smart character is the perfect description. She
just turns into one.
Now listen here.
Like, the way she's even trying to give context to what she did is just so, like, wrong. She's just coming at it the wrong way. It's just like, this is not going to help a situation. Like, you sprang to the defense of your friend who was organizing a Trump parade and who was being bullied by one person.
Yeah.
So then
we see the text, and it says her text is Catherine, like, or yeah. DM is like, why are you calling us white people? That is so racist. And then the lady gives her like the love sign.
Catherine's
like, I don't even remember what I said, but I guess the monkey emoji came up.
So then, which, by the way, that's also not something that things just don't happen to come up. So then Madison's like, you have to think about what you say before. You have to be careful about things, you know. So Catherine explains what happened to her. This is the plight of Catherine. She kept hurting every message I sent, just being an asshole. I'm like, Catherine, then stop sending the messages. You shouldn't have been sending the messages in the first place, but then just stop if she's liking them. So then we see the sequence of her messages. Like, dude, you are crazy. Then the lady goes, a heart. Grow a pair. Lady gives a heart. You're an L7 weenie. Gives a heart. That's how serious I take this. And then they put the monkey in, and the production adds a timpani drum that goes, bong.
Oh, my God.
Like, and it's like, the monkey. Like, you idiot.
Yes, doing. And then the monkey's, like, it's like the one that looks like the monkey's smiling, pooping.
Typing a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, and she's like, I mean, that, you know, that's how serious, that's why I put the monkey, because it's going like this. And she's, like, doing it. And she's like, and now apparently I'm racist. What?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. So, by the way, I had to, of course, look this up because I hadn't read this stuff since it happened. So, I got some screenshots of all this drama, okay?
Oh, great.
So, this girl, Katie, it's like one of those Instagrams where she's posing in like a little short dress, looking all pretty in her store with nail polish and stuff. And it says, Emery McPherson Real Estate and I are organizing a Trump boat parade for Saturday, May 23rd at 12 p.m. DM either of us for deets. CAG flags and gear are a requirement. The tackier, the better. So Mika Gadsden, who this fight is with, quoted that, and she says, in Charleston, you learn fairly quickly that the face of white supremacy resembles that of the boutique-owning, gatekeeping glitterati. This is Katie Shields, owner of Milk Bar in Mount Pleasant. She's organizing a nautical MAGA rally with her friends. Katie is reprehensible. Okay, so that's her friend that she was going in on. And I just find this stuff interesting. I don't really have a ton to say about it. But,
I thought you were presenting.
I'm just presenting them because I think it gives more context. Because this just says that, and that's all it is, right?
As
and
they if, talk like, about, this woman started up with Catherine, right?
Right. And so she writes to this woman. She writes, what an obvious slight to another woman. Are you unaware of your absolutely sociopathic behavior? I can't help. This is Catherine.
Katie writing. Oh, this Catherine.
Help but continue messaging you in hopes that you will get it. You are legit what's wrong with our city. Stop using Charleston and your minority claim as a platform to harass people.
So this woman, like, puts up one post, you know, as opposed to someone else who is arranging a nautical parade. And the fact that Catherine sees that as bullying really says a lot about her. Like, it says a lot about assumptions. It says a lot about projection, and it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Especially, yeah, so it's just interesting that they put this little part in, but there is more. Like, when Gwen Madison brings up later, it's, you know, it's more than just like a monkey thing. It's like, stop using your minority status. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. Because people saw that it was like, it was more than just the monkey. It was also the like stop saying white people. That's so racist. All this shit where it's like it's tone deaf at the least, racist at the most. Yes. But it's just like it's it's reprehensible. And right. It was reprehensible and terrible. And the fact that she has this whole, like, this whole story to kind of, like, explain why it was just a misunderstanding is actually so, it's just so, like, it's so bad that it's funny, you know, unfortunately. Well, for some people, it won't be funny.
What is an L7 weenie?
L7 is usually means you're a square. And I think she's just maybe calling her, I don't know. Just
oh, look, I put in L7 and L7 weenie came up on as an actual suggestion on Google. What is an L7 weenie? I have to know. A term made popular by the movie The Sandlot refers to someone who's being lame or uncool. I mean, come on. Okay, yeah, so it's just, it's, she's like texting her racist stuff and stuff from The Sandlot. So,
wow.
Okay, wow. So then Madison's like, okay, well, if you need anything, give me a call. Did my racist scene. I feel great. Bye. And then we get a close-up of the duck hanging out, the Calhoun duck hanging on the wall.
It ducks. So then, so now we're back to that at the statue where that meeting is still happening. And Danny is like, does Catherine know about all this? Does she know about this? And Leva's like, I mean, she knows. She knows what her great-great-grandfather's past is. Like, she knows. They're like, great. All right, well, let's go to Republic. So they go over to Leva's restaurant, and they all sit, and they do a cheers, a toast to, like, what could be an important day in the history, especially of the city. And Danny is like, I was so ignorant to this whole history. I was so ignorant. I mean, here I am just professionally social distancing, as Leva says, just alone, not being invited any place. And I had no idea that I could just read things on the internet.
And Gwen's like, so, you know, the people that are fighting to keep the statue up, it's like, what are you even fighting for? And one of the ladies makes the point, like, in any other country where bad shit has happened, they take that shit down. It's not even a question. Like, they're not flying the Nazi flag in Germany.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
there's all sorts of rules, actually, about what you can, and, like, Germany takes it very, very seriously about, you know, like, Nazism, Hitler references, things like that. Like, it's...
Yeah,
like,
and no, people are still flying their Confederate flag. And that's not right. And Leva's like, well, yeah, you know, it's always bothered me with Catherine because she has this name, you know, this name with all this history, and she has to know what that means, you know? And Danny's like, oh, she doesn't know. She doesn't know. I don't think she understands.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Leva's like, how could you not? How could you not know that, you know? I think it was Vanita, or maybe it could have been Vanita or Megan, but she was like, well, because she's white, she doesn't have to know. Like, she doesn't need to, like, think any further about this. And then Danny's like, well, I didn't know. I'm like, well, Danny, you just kind of proved the point, you know?
Yeah.
She's just like, it's like, yes, exactly. You didn't know.
And Liv was like, so, yeah, but if that were your great-great-grandfather with that name and a statue in the park, you would know. She goes, yeah, I guess I would. And, I forget who says it, but someone's like, well, yeah, but, like, Megan. The point is now she has the opportunity to use that name in a positive way in history and be like, that's not right. I stand against that. You know, so why wouldn't she take that opportunity and use it in Vanita's, a positive way?
Yeah, Vanita's like, just, like, apologize and move on. And they all are just, like, she's had so many opportunities to, like, to address and take ownership of the past of her family. Like, they basically even said, they're like, listen, she's not responsible for who her ancestors were, but she can. There have been a lot of times where she could have stepped up and condemned what Calhoun did, and she really hasn't done that and feigned ignorance or had a story about, you know.
Well, and especially now whatever. When you're going through all this stuff with the racist emoji and all of this stuff, you know this is coming down today. It's all over the news. Why aren't you here, like, saying something, you know?
She should have, yeah.
So then Leva's like, well, she called me, and it was pretty offensive because I said, did you know about the statue? And she said, yeah, she knows about the statue coming down, and someone had asked her about it, and she said, oh, I don't care. It's ugly anyway. Bye.
Right. And they were like, that's how far your brain goes with this topic. And they even said, like, we think that she was just trying to be funny or whatever, but it's still like, Vanita was like, it's still privilege. Like, I wish I knew I wish she knew what privilege was, like to be, or I wish, no, she says, I wish I knew what privilege was to be able to turn your back on something because it doesn't affect me.
Yeah. And Danny's like, oh, I don't think it's privilege. I think it's total selfishness. Like, she doesn't have empathy for other people. She can't put herself in other people's shoes. Like her friend, who's always been there for her.
Danny's still, despite the fact that they're talking about something very, very serious and bigger than all this, Danny is still like, by the way, did I mention that she didn't call me back?
So
Gwen, privilege is when someone calls you and they don't call you back. That's privilege.
Yeah. And Gwen is like, you know, it's like these DMs. Everybody keeps emphasizing the monkey emoji thing, but I don't know if you read all that stuff, but she, you know, she said stop using your minority claim and you're what's wrong with Charleston. And Love is like, oh, she said that?
Yeah, I'll say what's wrong with Charleston. Thomas Ravenel. Thomas Ravenel, a man who was born into legacy, who has a bridge named after his family, who gets a position purely based on his name, abuses that position, gets thrown in jail, gets many, many chances, fathers like all these children, and that right there is what I would call what's wrong with Charleston.
Well, yeah,
and
the that uniting was the day of that those
lads
went
out in Georgia.
Yeah, so one of the ladies asked Danny, they're like, so Danny, I'm curious, is that a person that you keep a friendship with, like knowing all this? And Danny's like, well, I don't know. I mean, we haven't talked in months. I mean, and this is the time I think she would reach out, but she reaches out to Leva over there. And they're like, Gwen says, yeah, well, she'll reach out and it'll be when it benefits her. And she's like, yeah, but that offends me. Like, you only use me when you need me. And Gwen's like, I think you know that, Danny. And she's like, yeah. Well, in my heart of hearts, I guess I know it, but now it's obvious.
Right. In case it wasn't obvious for the past three seasons. Also, they did, Gwen's does, Madison from Gwen's does say that, like, they fired her because, like, she's like, we have to stand for something, and it's clearly not that.
Yeah.
So, by the way, I have to give Madison a round of applause because she did a good job of countering how awful she was on Below Deck sailing yacht. So, congratulations, Madison. You were terrible on the yacht, but you're doing a great job in this scene. You're doing the right things.
So then Shep is still... Oh, wow, Craig! He has a wacky dog scene in the gym. So he's going to the gym, and he's all shaky and fucking weird acting. He's like, yeah, dude, Cars, I don't know what's wrong with Austin. Where's Austin? What's going on? Cars, hold on. Push-ups. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, curls. Get the curls. Curls, get the curls.
Girls.
Where's Austin? Arr! It's a bizarre scene. So he calls Austin, and Austin is like, yeah, something's not right. Like, I'm feeling a little flu-y, like a little achy.
Oh, Austin, did you just apply for a job? Is that what that is? No, it's worse than that. It's not the usual thing. He's like, so Austin Shep goes, oh, that's scary. Well, if you feel better tomorrow, then I think you're in the clear, but I could be wrong. I don't know.
Doctor.
And Austin's like, well, I'm going to bounce back quick. Okay, it's insane. I promise you that. I'm going to bounce back quick. And Shep is like, well... He tells us, if you feel sick during the pandemic and the symptoms are a flu, COVID!
And so he calls Craig, and Natalie answers like,
hi, Shepard!
Hello, Shepard! I'm like, Natalie, do you know him well enough to say hello, Shepard, to him?
So he's like, hand me to Craig quick. Listen, Austin had to bail on the party because, like, he has flu-like symptoms. And Craig's like, yeah, but what about the party? Like, we all went out this weekend, and I feel fine. And Shep's like, oh, I feel good, too. I'm like, oh, you guys, COVID must be just not real, you guys. It's just
and
all
Shep
made
is,
up, guys.
Shep is pacing the gym, like, so nervously at this point. He's just doing full laps. Like, little Craig is just, like, watching, like, whoa, you know?
Yeah.
So then it's... 3 days later.
Dun, a very important computer FaceTime scene. So Austin's on FaceTime with Madison. She's like,
well, all right. What's going on with you?
He's like, I just recently tested positive for Corona. Just to clarify that part.
And we obviously were just together. And then we see a flashback of Austin, Madison, and Craig hanging out and saying, well, there's less than four of us, so we're just having a good time because nothing bad could happen if it's just four people hanging out.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, I'm kind of surprised because I just tested negative. She's like, you're surprised? Austin, he goes, I had just tested negative. He's like, Austin, you go to the bar with Craig, you go out all night, you have people over, and now I'm at risk, and so is Hudson. I mean, how fucking selfish. I'm trying to throw you a birthday party. I had my salon closed for a month. I just re-up it, and now everything could be ruined.
I love Madison berating Austin about going out and socializing and being around people and then saying, I am trying to throw a birthday party for you.
I'm trying to throw a party with
on a private island so big that's got to be on a private island, and you were going out and being reckless with other people. I love that. Yeah. I love that for her.
And,
so
he's like, well, for all I know, I got it from you, Madison. And she starts laughing. And he's like, you've been at your salon, Madison, at your salon. You're going to act like you've been practicing safe everything. She's like, it's called protection. Okay. It's called fucking protection.
Have you ever heard of protection, you fucking idiot? Ask him about corn. Does he like corn? Ask him about the corn.
What was he born for, and was it corn?
Are you done? Are you done? Okay. It's like, listen, I'm calling you to tell you, okay?
Well, I'm fucking pissed. I'm fucking pissed.
Yeah. And he's like, okay, we do not need to hash this out for you to tell me all the things you hate about me on this Zoom call. It's like, you are not stepping foot in this house until you test negative.
I know that you're pissed and also slightly insane right now, but let's talk when I get out of this, okay?
Great.
And she just hangs up, and he's like, really, Madison? Really? The screen's just black. Really, Madison?
Wow, what an episode. A lot of stuff.
The end of Southern Jam.
A lot of real world stuff happened in this episode. It was pretty good. I was I was into it.
Yeah, it was a good episode. So we'll see what happens as the other guys start getting it. Did you say Shep got it or he didn't get it?
I don't know if Shep got it. I thought that Craig got it. That was there was a headline that Craig, like a rumor that Craig had, that Craig and Austin both had coronavirus. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I guess time will tell. In the meantime, thanks so much for being with us, you guys. Have a great weekend over there. We will talk to you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Mitchells.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D. The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors,
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthew Sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.